camera is a huge step up. I should say the cameras, since you have one on the front for video conferencing and one on the back. The FaceTime video conferencing feature itself is really neat, although you do need to be on Wi-Fi, and I've discovered that not all corporate firewalls like it. I couldn't use it in the post, so I'm working from home today.
To actually test it out.
Yes, exactly. The screen is a real piece of work. The Apple has this weird sci-fi name for it, the Retina display. And the idea is that this has the resolution is 960 by 640 pixels, which is supposedly more detailed than the human eye can actually see from a foot away. That may actually be true. But, you know, if you pull up a picture or text or something, even holding the iPhone up close, you can't see the usual little jagged edges you're used to seeing on pretty much every other computer monitor ever made.
I saw one of our colleagues upstairs at WTOP has one, and the screen is the first thing that you just go, wow.
You don't necessarily notice it when you're looking at the home screen or, you know, maybe launching an older app, but when you have a picture on the screen, when if you open a book in the iBooks application, big change there.
And so, okay, what don't you like?
The multitasking on it, it's done in a weird sort of way. You know, first of all, it's not really multitasking in the sense that you have multiple third-party applications open and active at the same time. Really, each application is either suspending itself and when you switch to another one, or it's handing off one task to the rest of the operating system. For instance, I've been listening to a couple of web radio stations using programs like Pandora and Slacker. And those simply tell the iPhone software, hey, will you keep playing this stream off our site while the user switches to something else? But the weird way is how this is implemented. You just tap the button on the home button on the screen. You get a little drawer that shows up with your current applications active. But that display gets cluttered because every time you launch a program, it gets added to this drawer, and it never goes away. So eventually, you're going to have this long list of every single program on the iPhone, and theoretically, the ones you use most often that you last launched should be at the very left of it, but it seems kind of cluttered and sort of confusing to have the iPhone suggesting that, oh, you have 20 programs active, or 50 or however many applications you have.
Yeah, some of the conversations that I've seen going around on this, this multitasking, maybe not exactly, there may be another evolution to this.
Yeah, and there's definitely, the other weird thing is, when you have another application open and running in the background, or, you know, sort of, its job has been handed off to the operating system, you can't really see what it's up to. So, for instance, if when I was listening to Pandora Internet Radio, if I want to see what song is playing, I can't see that in this little drawer. I have to actually switch over to the program.
Yeah.
And on other phones that allow multitasking, it's easier to sort of see what's happening in some other program. You don't need to switch all the way over to it.
Take a step back, because when we were first talking about having you on, the subject of the email you sent me was, hey, this is just it's a phone. And of course, it's not just a phone. This device really changed how everyone...
It has mystical properties.
Right, exactly. We all pay homage to it. But, I mean, there's a lot more competition now than when Apple first launched a phone, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
2007. Yeah, and that brings me to sort of, you know, the biggest complaint I have with this is that this remains a device that is locked to AT&T's wireless network, which this morning in the D.C. area has been doing a lousy job. The phone has been losing internet connectivity at random, then finding it again. It's been on and off. I've seen other users report the same problems. And, you know, once you buy this thing, you cannot do anything about it unless you actually jailbreak the phone. Then if you wanted, you could use it on another carrier using the same wireless technology as AT&T, which in the Washington area would be T-Mobile. And there are a lot of other smartphones, like those running Google's Android software, where they're available for multiple carriers. So you can choose between Android phones on Verizon, on T-Mobile, on Sprint, even one or two on AT&T.
This is the way they do things in Europe. You buy the phone, and then you choose whichever carrier you want, and it creates almost more competition amongst the carriers to actually improve their networks.
Right. Yeah, but with the iPhone, it's a package deal. You want it, you better like AT&T.
Yeah, well, yes. If you heard, AT&T seems to be paying attention to all the people complaining about the network, and maybe they'll address that someday?
Yeah, well, we have to... I don't know what exactly is going on this particular morning. I've got a query into AT&T's publicist, and hopefully we'll for the sake of all the iPhone owners out there, it'll turn out to be somebody, backed a truck into a tower somewhere.
Yeah.
But there have been historic issues with capacity issues, people having dropped calls. You know, there are a lot of cranky iPhone owners, and certainly in like the San Francisco Bay Area, New York. I've heard from a few around D.C. too.